Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. I neglected one prayer request this morning. I'm going to give it to you. I always hesitate to ask you to pray for me. I don't know why that is, but I do. Those of you who are here Wednesday night know I'm having problems with one of my eyes. I do have an appointment with Dean McGee a week from tomorrow, and I'd appreciate your prayers between now and then that everything would go well. A couple of weeks ago, you remember I spoke about Daniel and his decision to obey God, even in the face of death. That decision reflected an unconditional commitment to God. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, and he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." In Luke chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said, "If any man will come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Some people think that those words of Jesus and the demands of Jesus, it's too much to give, too much to ask. Even some Christians feel like sometimes that God should just be happy having a place in our lives and shouldn't demand to be the priority, the first place of our lives. I want to remind you that God, Jesus Christ, is totally committed to each of us. In spite of our sin and rebellion and rejection of Him, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for our sins. And in spite of our rejection of Jesus, He gave His body and blood on the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for our sins. He was unconditionally committed, totally committed to us. He gave His all, so He commands us to give our all to Him. That's very reasonable when you think about it. With that in mind, I want to look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Y'all know the story. You know, sometimes I wish we didn't know the story. Sometimes I wish we could read the Bible and not know what's happening and that first time read it. So forget about the end. Can you do that? Forget about the ending for just a minute. And I want to look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their unconditional commitment to God. It's kind of a long reading starting in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, that's 90 feet, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, that's 9 foot. So it was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces. And I never have figured out why it just didn't say all those people came. Were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now put yourself in that crowd today. Think about this and put yourself in that crowd. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace." What would you do? "Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship thy image which thou hast set up. They did not bow. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, he's going to give them another chance, he thinks. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now forget about the rest of the story. The first thing that I want you to notice is that their commitment, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their commitment was challenged. In verses 4 through 6, we read that when the herald cried and said, when you hear the sound of the music, bow before the image. And if you don't bow before the image, the same hour you'll be thrown into a fiery furnace. They knew, Shadrach and Abednego were present when Nebuchadnezzar made this decree, when he set up the image, probably an image of himself. They heard the command that everyone there was to bow. They heard the music. They knew that if they did not bow, they would be thrown into the fiery furnace. They knew that if they did bow, they would be in disobedience to the word of God, because God told us, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So they didn't bow. You know, we read the stories of the Bible, and you know, if you've read them before, you know them, and you know what's going to happen, and we just kind of skim through, oh, well, what's the big deal, you know, so they didn't. Try to put yourself there. Listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not know the end of the story. All they knew was that their commitment to God was being challenged. Their obedience to God. The king said, bow, and if you don't bow, you're going to die. This wasn't the first time their commitment to God was challenged. These three guys, along with Daniel and some other Hebrew young men, probably when they were teenagers, were taken captive by the Babylonians. And the first thing that happened to them is they were served some food that they could not eat. It was against the law of God to eat that food. In that case, they remained faithful to God. Their commitment was unconditional. And so God blessed them and caused them to be advisors to the king. And that's why they were present now. God had blessed them, and God had given them a place in the government. They were some of these leaders, and that's why they were there. You would think, man, you know, God, I proved my faithfulness once, and as a result of my faithfulness, here I am having to prove it again. Christians throughout the ages have had their commitments challenged to God. Daniel has had his challenged. All 12 of the original, or all 12 of the apostles of Jesus, discounting Judas, all 12 of them were martyred for their faith, with the exception of John, and John was exiled on the prison island of Patmos. Down through the ages, Paul probably was martyred for the faith. Down through the ages, Christians throughout the ages have been martyred. Renounce God or die. Some of them in horrible deaths. One guy was drawn, quartered, and pulled apart by wild beasts. One guy was put inside of a brass bull and boiled alive. I want you to know, Christian, the same thing might happen to you. Now, you may not be pulled apart or boiled alive, but your commitment to God will be challenged. And it'll be challenged more than once. That's why Jesus said to us, we must take up our cross daily and follow Him. Christianity is a daily commitment, an unconditional commitment to follow and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for us today, the challenge probably is going to be a little different. The time may come. It happens all over the world today, where today Christians are, their faith is challenged, renounce God or die. It happens every day. It may happen in this country sometime. Who knows? Right now, it's probably not quite that severe. Your commitment to God may interfere with your social life. So what are you going to do? Your commitment to God may interfere with your recreational activity. So what are you going to do? Your commitment to God may interfere with your job. So what are you going to do? Are you unconditionally committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if I serve God, I'll have to give up, and you fill in the blank. You're standing before the image of whatever that is. And Satan is challenging you, bow or suffer the consequences. And God is telling you, stand and let me handle the consequences. What will you do? The next thing I want you to notice is that their commitment was considered. The music played. Everybody present. Picture this in your mind. Everybody present bowed before that image. You know, it's one thing to stand in a crowd that's standing. It's another thing to stand in a crowd that's bowing. Well, those three guys stuck out like a sore thumb. But they didn't bow. And so some of them went and told Nebuchadnezzar, hey, these three guys didn't bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't bow. And the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar called them to him in rage and fury. Now, I've stood before an image, and I've heard the herald say, I have to bow, and I didn't bow. Now, I'm standing before the king in his rage and fury. It doesn't get easier, does it? And the king says, maybe you didn't understand. I know you guys are foreigners here. Maybe you still don't fully understand the Babylonian language and culture. You have to bow now or you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Maybe I'll give you one more chance. I want you to listen to what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. That means, Nebuchadnezzar, we have carefully considered this situation. We understand fully the ramifications of standing and not bowing. We know we'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. We know that unless God intervenes, we will die in the fiery furnace. We understand that. We've considered it. And we have decided that we will not bow. Before they ever got there, they didn't know what was going to happen. When the Babylonian messengers came and called everybody to this image, they had no idea. The image was probably covered up. They didn't know what it was. They had no idea what was going to happen that day. They didn't know they were going to be challenged. Their faith was going to be challenged. But they had made a decision years before. They had made an unconditional commitment to God years before, and they already knew when they got there what they were going to do if they were challenged. Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 33, these are the words of Jesus. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus was telling us to count the cost of commitment. He wasn't discouraging people from being saved. He wasn't discouraging people from committing themselves to Him. He said, I just want you to be aware of what's going to happen, of what it's going to cost. Count the cost, because your commitment will be challenged. And then finally, I want you to notice that their commitment was not conditional. I got to tell you, there are three words in this story that are some of my favorite three words in all the Bible. Listen. Daniel 3, 17 and 18. This is the answer of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to King Nebuchadnezzar. If it be so, if we get thrown into the fiery furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They didn't say He would. Listen, they didn't say, oh, by faith I'm claiming victory. They said, well, He can. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Nebuchadnezzar made a brag and he said, nobody can deliver you from my hand. And they said, listen, even if we die, God will deliver us from you. And then here it comes. But if not. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Is there a but if not in your commitment to Jesus Christ? Nebuchadnezzar made a boast. He said, there's no power on earth, there's no king on earth, there's no force on earth that can deliver you out of my hand. There's no God that can deliver you out of my hand. He thought he was in total control and total charge. He thought he was too powerful. He thought the fire was too fierce. He thought there was no way, if they did not bow, that they would not burn. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, well, we don't know whether God will deliver us from the fire or not, but He will deliver us from your hand. Death is deliverance. We don't know if we're thrown into the fire, if we'll die or not. But if not, we will not bow. Isn't that wonderful? You know the story. Let me tell you the end of the story. I ask you to forget it. I know you didn't, but you tried. Thank you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, they didn't bow. The Bible says that the king commanded the strongest men in his army. They came and they bound their hands in their clothes, their hats, fully clothed. He said, I want you to stoke the fire, make it 7 times hotter than it is right now. And the Bible says that the fire was so hot that when the men who bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego threw them into the fire, that the heat from the flames killed those men. They died instantly. And then the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire. I don't know how he saw it. I don't know where he was. But he said, I see. He said, didn't we tie up 3 guys and throw them in that fire? And they're, oh yeah, king, they're probably already dead. He said, I see 4. And one of them looks like the Son of God. Verse 27 of Daniel chapter 3 tells us they brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire. The fourth man was gone. They brought him out and said, they said the fire had no power over their bodies. The Bible says not one hair was singed. The Bible says their clothes were not burned. The Bible says they didn't even smell like smoke. You know what we do today? It pains me to say this. We make, as Christians, we make a conditional commitment to God. There is no but if not in our commitment. Oh, yes, God, listen, I'll serve you. I'll be obedient to you. I'll be faithful to you as long as you don't ask me to do anything I don't want to do. Don't ask me to preach. Don't let the pastor ever call on me to pray in service, God. Now, I just can't do that. Don't ask me to teach a Sunday school class. Don't ask me to be a missionary. Don't ask me to quit my job. Don't ask me to do anything that I don't want to do. And, man, I'm yours. You got me. Sometimes it's a if you'll do something for me. You know, the foxhole confession. If you'll get me out of this mess, I'm yours. If you'll give me that job, I'm yours. If you'll give me that promotion, I'm yours. If you'll let me marry that guy or that girl, I'm yours. If you'll give me good health, if you'll make me rich, boy, I'm all yours, God. But if not, I'm out. First time there's a problem and God doesn't do what we want God to do, okay, you had your chance. That's a conditional commitment. Well, God, if I quit my job, how will I take care of my family? One time, it's been a long time ago, a gentleman came to me and he was contemplating taking a job. And the job required him to work every Sunday. And I said, listen, don't take it. Well, I've got to have a job. I've got to pay my bills. And I said, don't take that job. Trust God, he'll give you another one. He took it. He's not here today. As far as I know, he's not serving God today. His commitment was conditional. Unconditional commitment. God can heal. But if not, I will serve him. God can deliver. But if not, I will serve him. God may ask me to preach. He may ask me to teach. He may ask me to witness to my neighbor. He might ask me to give up my job. He might ask me to give up my recreation. It might cost me my family. I knew a guy in college announced a call to mission service, and he went home and he told his mom and dad, God's called me to the mission field and I'm going to go. And his dad said, if you go, you're not my son. He went. Unconditional commitment. Whatever God does, whatever God doesn't do, I'm his. Would you stand with me this morning?